fine, but the Rebbe is here, everyone's here. I'm not sure where we left off. It's been 2 weeks. What, 3 weeks? Mixed dancing came up. But I forgot already. What I remember is that you didn't have any forms last week. I didn't realize that you had, Rabbi Stein had sent you the forms on the email. So I didn't get it. Now I have the forms myself. I'd like to go over some of the forms with you. I don't know if you have either in front of you or on the email. So let's start with the Tanoim, okay? Tanoim is, since no one's here yet, people are going to come late. Tanoim is meaningless, so we can talk about it when no one's here. Okay, yeah, the Tanoim that you have in front of you, we call this Rav Moshe's Tanoim. Rav Moshe eviscerated the Tanoim to make them just about completely meaningless. All right? But you have to fill them out anyway. So you got to know if you're a rabbi, if not, fill them out. So it says you have to all these stuff, psukim and all of that. There's two sides. One is in the classic case where both fathers are there. So the right, Reuven ben Shimon, Omer mitzad beno Levi. Then you have Yehuda ben Yisachar, Omer mitzad bito Akala psula maras Sara. Okay, so those are the names of the father and his father. And then you have the son who's getting married, then the father and his father, and the daughter's getting married. And it says, I'll read it to you. You should look inside if you have it. Asher kol niskayma kol achiyuvim mitzad achosim akala mitzad akala achosim eilem mitzad alzeh shum toimus utviyus avu nishol od niskayim mash achosim anal yisad akala anal chud v'kidushin that's Moshe v'Yisrael b'yom blank v'chodesh blank. That's the day they're going to get married. Presumably if you fill it out at the wedding, it's the same day, or maybe sometimes the next day. You can fill it out by day and the wedding is at night. Shnas blank. They're not going to hide from each other. Here's a key phrase. They're going to share their property equally. Is this meaningful or meaningless? Amazing dispute in the poskim. Is this simply platitudes, what's called shufa d'shtara? Means nothing? Or is this what they call in California today community property? That all the properties owned 50-50. Some poskim take this literally. Of course, the issue becomes that our version of Tanoim is not signed neither by the Chosim nor by the Kalam. Only the father signed. They don't sign it. They even sign it in their name. So it can't be binding anyway. So it's just, we assume it's just a platitude. But just keep in mind that if the Chosim Kalam sign underneath, according to some authorities, this obligates them to divide their assets if it comes to a divorce 50-50. Kederech bnei Torah b'Hashem Yisbarach kol zanasa b'dei ha'shvedim b'yoshevas v'chanina, pick up a handkerchief in shnei atzodim al ma'ad ha'koshim b'forosh v'lev ma'ad ha'koshim b'yoshevim k'loshev v'kayim nasa po with blank yom blank. That last part was added. Rav Moshe never agreed to this, by the way. It's nasa po b'yom po. He left it out on purpose, but okay, it's here ha'kol shor v'kayim. Two edim sign, somebody reads it, then they break a plate, and everyone's happy. Do you need it? No. But it creates more kibbutim, gentlemen.
Yes.
Now I got mad. They made four no kibbutim. Because the rub came late. So I had two Adam signed the Tanoim, and one rabbi arranged the Tanoim, one rabbi read the Tanoim. What could be better? So for that alone, it's worth doing. Make four people happy. Three people happy, feel the Masada. Good. This is the Tanoim. Let's go to the Ksuba, okay? This is serious stuff, but everyone should have been here by now. Now, unfortunately, in Rabbi Stein's packet, my Ksuba does not appear. There were two Ksubas. This is what we call Rav Shechter's Ksuba, and then it's called the standard RCA Ksuba. I think I told you the story last time with the RCA Ksuba. I don't remember. No stories. I'll tell you some stories. Well, that's first. My Ksuba I have here. So maybe Rabbi Stein, for next week, I want to make a few more. Maybe we'll talk something during the week. I have a few more things to put out which are not in the original pack, if you don't mind. Let's read the standard Ksuba, which is the RCA text. Anyone have it in front of you? Because if you don't have it in front of you, it's hard to figure.
Which one is it?
It says on it, well, it starts, the blank b'Shabbos, blank l'chodesh, blank, sh'nas chamesh alav b'Shamios, blank. Okay? That's what it starts. All right? You should have two of them like that.
The last one.
Okay. So again, you get married today, you write Chamisha B'Shabbos. This is complicated, man. Let's see about today. No one's getting married today. Sunday. Next Sunday. Be'echad B'Shabbos. Not B'Rishon. Be'echad B'Shabbos. That's a little tricky on Sundays. It would be Arba Yomim, am I correct? Arba Yomim L'Chodesh Kislev. If not, it's still all the months of the year. From 1 to 10, you write down Yomim, and after that you write down Yom, that's just the Hebraic flourish, look based on Tanakh. Shvav Yasa Shivim V'Shev L'Briyas Olam. The Minish on the Mon and Khan, blank. The Asi Aksuba does not have Briyas Olam. It's their first mistake. So they put in Briyas Olam. That's not fatal. Blank. If the Asi Aksuba has a line like this for the place, how can it? Whoa, what's going on over here? Well, why so big? My Rebbe had a Zach. He used to write on all official documents the way it's written, Rachman al-San in the Get. Yeah. So in New York, you write down Minyan Khan, Moshe New York, City of New York. And you write down New York, Masa de Yasva. Al Nahar Hudson Val Kaif Yama. The city that rests on the Hudson River and the ocean. I think in Boston, in the old diplomas used to write in Boston, Masa de Yasva Al Nahar Charles Val Kaif Yama. I kid you not. I got some old diplomas of some of my Maimonides students from way back. See, we used to write that in the Ksuba too. You have to have so much space. We don't do that. We just write just the name of the city or the location. Not always a city. The word masa means a place. It's not limited to a city. You have to check out with the local rabbis what they usually do and how they spell the name of the place where they are. Try not to go against the local rabbis. Although if they're wrong, you should, whatever. Okay, but they try to get it right. Must you write the state? In most cases, not. If it is a town which exists in many states as a nondescript name, you should put the name of the state. What's examples of that? Spring Valley. There are many Spring Valleys. Should write that Medina's New York? Now there's Brooklyn. There's a Brooklyn in Pennsylvania too, but at Brooklyn, I think it's... Or for example, Lakewood. I happen to spend quite a bit of time in Lakewood in Pennsylvania. But Mechila's called Lakewood, Pennsylvania. Stop Lakewood in New Jersey, where there were hundreds of thousands of Yidden. So I think to this day, everyone knows where it is. You're not required to. Or for example, Bronx. You can write Bronx, Medina, New York, or New York, but everyone knows what the Bronx cheer is. It's a Bronx, it's Bronx, you know. Alright? Eich. The next word is Eich. Correct? Because the other text you have has this two words before Eich. Am I correct? Right. So we're going to compare the two ksubas, which is what I'll call the standard ksuba, and I'll call Rav Shechter ksuba. So I don't know if you have a split screen on your computer. If you have it in football, why can't you have a split screen on your computer? Okay, so Shecht added the word Anan Sadi, and for good reason, because this is not a star which is a Maisa Bezdin. The Edom on the bottom are saying, we are witnesses that this transpired. He put an Anan Sadi. There's a sefer called Ksuba Kihilchos, I believe it's called, by Rav Stern from Bnei Brak, I think that's his name. He objects strenuously to putting an Anan Sadi. As Edot HaMizrach says no, because for us a ksuba is, though it's not quite a Maisa Bezdin, which you'll see soon, but it has certain trappings of a Maisa Bezdin, and if they left out the Anan Sadi for 700 years, we shouldn't start putting it in now. So just to give you all the distinction we've done, here's my split screen, my eyes here. Eich, now Sheha Bocher, here Rav Shechter is correct. He's not a chosen yet. No, he agreed to marry, he's not a chosen yet. The bacher is more correct. Just give me none of this marking, by the way. I'm just giving you what's in the front of you. Okay? Blank, Ploni ben Ploni. They both have the mishpachas, which I took out of mine. I don't like family names. Number one, I don't know how to spell them. Number two, you have all kinds of problems with second marriages and adoptions and conversion. It only makes tzaros. Although it is true, the Rav Moshe wrote it as true, that's better put in last names. He didn't do it himself. I was there by where Rav Moshe was Masach Kedushin. And the Rav did it in the Arsi Aksum, which we'll get to in my tale of woe of my own wedding. Will come to keep you entertained as we go. But let's first, business before pleasure. We got to do the clue before I tell you my stories. Let's just go through this text. Okay? They both have the Mishpachas. Amala lahadah psulta. This is the first marriage. And we assume she's in fact the psula. Blank, bas ploni, plonis, bas ploni, Mishpachas blank again. Heaven, that's Moshe of Yisrael. He said that, he told her, be my wife. Va'ano, Eflach, we have a Okir. Now, Dr. Richard Steiner, Shalita, should have a refuah shleima. He was, and his first daughter got married, his daughter Chani, married Menachem Jacobowitz, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He came to me, he used to be my balabas before he moved to Queens. Now in my shul, said, yeah, I want to get a ksuba right. They're all wrong. Some of the grammar is wrong. He's a professor of Semitic languages. I said, okay. What about the halachic stuff? The halachic stuff is beyond my pay grade. Go to Rabbi Shechta. I made the shidduch between Richard Stein and Rabbi Shechta. Out came this piece of paper. Okay? So you have Anan Tzadi, which is a halachic Rabbi Shechta edition. Now you have the grammar. We have Okir, he changes it to Okar, to God of Yud. Okay. The Ezon and Vafanis, we have Yesichi Lichi, to God Lichi. Why? It's semi halachic, semi Aramaic. The word Yesichi Lichi means Osak Loch is lifted from a get, Rahman al Islam. There the man gives her to herself. When it comes to a ksula, it makes no sense. She either be either Yesichi or Lichi. Alright? I'm a Farnas. Lichi doesn't really belong in my ksuba, it's still there because I don't want to change it, and it's, even though it's grammatically questionable, you know, just leave it the way it is. But if you frankly, Rabbi Shechta is more correct over here. Kilchus Guvin Yudarn the Palchin Umokrin Vizonin Umifaris and Shein Bekushta. Okay, it's over the same. Fihidin Lichi, I give you more of Selech Ksavs with Yimas and the Chazal Lichi Midaraisa. It's the matter of ksuba that's given to the Chosn the Kala is all tumble and poskim. Is it really Midoraisa, not Doraisa? So Rabbi Natam said, even if it's not Doraisa, we give Shkolim Doraisa, which is a higher level, which is eight times as much. Wait, she was on Kiddush this year, the very beginning. Right, that's the first daf. Talk about the different Kesef Tzuri, Kesef Medina. I'm not sure on Kiddush or not, but it's right at the beginning. Okay, it's 8-1 ratio, if I have it straight. So we have, even if it's the Rabbana, we give the higher level of money, eight times as much. That means you're going to give mizonos and clothing and support and relations. Kedera kolaretz, we just read a couple weeks of Ish Ein Boris Lavole, Kedera kolaretz. Orach has a translation, comes from Benos Lot. But that's where you have to go to the original source, it's not so holy. But that's how we Chazal use that expression. Fine. Utsvias Maris blank Sultada, just her name, don't know her father's name. Mahavis Leliyindu, she became his wife. Vidain the Dunya, Tanala Flemi Bay blank. This is the dowry she brought to him from the house of, if her father's alive, Mibe Avuha, her father. The father's not around, for whatever reason. Nasha, Nun Shin Aleph. Bein Bekesa, Bein Bedahav, Yeh Bein Bezov. Okay, so. I guess Dr. Steiner or Rabbi Shechta changed it to Dahav because it's funded in Aramaic, made the Zion into a dollar. Okay. What does this mean? It means silver, gold, jewelry, clothes, furnishings, beddings. Hakol kibul of blank, again his name without his father's name. Chasan Danan, the mayor of Skukim Kesef Tzarev. We speak about last time, it's a kind. Was going out last time? Cohen Levy? Never came out? No. Okay, yeah?
Why is it Chasan Dinan and not Buffer?
No.
No.
It's when he began, it was a Bacher. Now she married him, he's already a Chosin. That's why it changes. So you have to put Cohen or Levy in the chosen's name or his father's name, or in the kala, his father's name. Okay. But how many times must you write Hakohen or Halevi in the ksuba? So here the minhag is Hakohen must be written each and every time. So for example, Kibbul of Tzvi Hakohen Chasadana Chayim Hakohen. Why each time Hakohen? Because otherwise they'll say Chayim and Reuven Hakohen. Oh, Reuven is a Kohen but Chayim is not. How can that be? Famous joke, where we talk about my father was a Kohen, you know, take me into a Kohen. How can it be that Reuven is a Kohen but his son Chaim is not? No, gentlemen? Madagrusha, Maisen B'chol Yom, unfortunately, today. This is a new style. Father Heta, I'm going to go into that right now. So if a Kohen marries a Grusha, he's a Kohen and his son is not. So to go against that, you have to have a Kohen each time. What about Halevi? Is it possible that the father's a Levi and the son's not a Levi, gentlemen? Possible, right? Well, if you look at Rashi and Kiddushin, look at Nichols, Mishnah Bruchos, Kriya Satori, you get an impression that a mamzer loses Kiddushin's Leviyah. So one of the Rabbanim wants to put in a Levi each time to knock out that possibility. I got married, I'm a Levi. The Rav is my Messiah Kiddushin. The only one a Levi the first and the last time. He wasn't worried about Nichshash Mamzeris, because if it's Mamzeris, he can't get married anyway. So a Cholok can get married, not a mamzer. But she's a Mamzeris too. Too remote. So my kids, I never wrote Halevi, but this rabbi hacked me and hacked me. So my youngest son says Simcha Halevi each time, just to make some rabbi happy. The other rest only have Halevi at the beginning and the end. That's the Ikar idea. Good. Okay, let's go further. With Tzvi, Ploni, Chasandanan, again, is a coin, Ploni, a coin, Chasandanan. The host of Lam, Mendelei, Od Meaz, Kukim, Kesef, Tzorah, Vachem, Kenagasach, Hakol. Oh, did I skip something over here? The Nedunya. I mean, oh, that's right. Sacha called Masayim Skulim Kesar. He says, Zekukim. What's Zekukim? I gave you I think Rabbi Stein made copies of some of the things in my Sefer about the value of a Ksuva. I don't know if any of you saw it. I'm not going to spend time on it. You can look at it yourself. Kitzin Nimritz, the ratio of Zekukim to Zuzim is significant. Could be 60 times as much according to the Chazanish. If I remember correctly, could be 40 times as much according to Rav Moshe. So be 20 times, 10 times. The kids are Meyer's Masayim. How should we say it? Masayim Zuz is 50 shkolim, which is 10 times Pinyan Aben. Gentlemen, does anyone here have a b'chor? Is anyone here blessed with a b'chor? A long time ago. I wonder when recently. Okay. Well, maybe it'll be a b'chor born to somebody soon. How much is Pidyon Aben? What does it cost already? Huh?
$60.
$60. More than that now.
I was quoting myself, remember, before the episode?
No.
From Mr. Blitz. So it was like, you know, 5 or 6 silver American dollars.
Okay, well, what is that worth in silver? What is it?
It cost me about that time about $300.
$300, okay. If that's the case, what's the matter?
It's less.
I think it's okay, whatever it is. The kitzer, the whole ksuba.
Right,
what is it?
It's $60.
$60. Good. So it means a ksuba is $600. Simple cheshbon. A ksuba is 10 times Pinyan Aben. Simple math. One's 5 shkol, one's 50 shkol. Can't budge. That's all it is. Whereas kukim could be tens of thousands of dollars. That's already cash. Okay? So I'm just letting you know. You look in my safe, you'll see these proportions. The Kachama blank Chasandana. And this is just boilerplate. Achrayash, the three obligations here. Ksup the do, the dun yudain, the sef the do. Kibla live al yasi, kabala salive al yasi basroi. He accepts all these three obligations upon himself and his heirs after him. Lehis spora, we have an ending with an ayin. Dr. Stein added an aleph. Nisbara, you know, it has to have an aleph at the end, like any good Aramaic verb. We call shvar dichsin v'kion disitros called shmaya. The kanoi that I've acquired, which is almost zero for average chosin that's married in his early 20s. Ude osid anol mikna. Oh, here's where it is. All the money I'm going to make the rest of my life. All my property I'm going to acquire for forever. a mortgage to this. Nichsen the Islan Akhwaris, less than Akhwaris, my real estate, my movables. Kulon in Akhwan, Varon in Farm and Honstak, so the Don, the New Dainter, Septa Dominoi, Fafilu bin Glima, Dalkat, boy, from the shirt off my back. The Chayai, we have Ubasar Chay after my life, and Rabbi Shechter doesn't play around with his platitudes and euphemisms. Ubasar Mosi, that's what it really means. What's the afterlife? Death. What do you do with that? That's the reality. So we take it out for euphemistic purposes, and Rav Shechel puts it back. That's the difference. The difference between the two. Min yoma denanu lolam b'chrayis v'chomash taksuf d'don d'dunya d'ed osef t'zot kibalov again blank chasananan k'chomach. Here's the next word. How do you pronounce the next word? There's a story about this one. Many years ago, I was at a wedding in L.A., and the Rav in L.A. asked me, tell me, do you pronounce it Shtore or Shitre? Shvachacha and Shivchacha, after Kedusha. Some have the different versions. How do you pronounce it? So I said, I don't know, but I'll look up Dr. Stardust Suba. He's an expert in Aramaic language. And I'll look it up and see how he... Because I read the Ksuba. At that wedding, Rav Shechter and Dr. Stardust made the Ksuba. I was the one... I said, give me a crib sheet. I had to memorize in advance. I wasn't going to read it on the spot. There were no dots, but I memorized it the way he wanted it to be read. And I forgot. The story has an amazing ending. So I went home from L.A., quickly looked in the original Saviad of Dr. Stein with the dots. The word was missing. For about 5 years, who knows how long, Rabbi Shechter Suba, the word was missing. It went from, I kid you not, it went from, it's all kosher, don't worry about it. It went, Kechomer, what is it? Kechomer, what is it? Kol Ksubas Vitoseftis. The word wasn't there. So I didn't know how it happened. So I went back to Dakastana, if we put it back in. Well, this is Mishneic Hebrew, whichever way it's good enough. I'm just saying the story. When you make a nuksuba, you have to be careful not to leave out words. Whenever osa chadosh is bal mechomis, you make new things. Just give an example of this. Thank God it was an innocuous mistake, but didn't have to. It could have been a real mistake. Anyway, it wasn't caught for 5 years by anybody, and it had not been for the question that the rabbi in LA asked me, probably wouldn't have been caught till the Adiyom Hazeh. Who looks who pays careful attention? Right there. The Tosef. Oh. We have a Toseftos in ours. Dr. Saab, what kind of Toseftos? That's wrong. Tosfos. Vitosafos. Have you been there in Israel? Hatosafot Makshim. That's a correct Hebrew word. Tosafot. That's okay. The Nagan Bibnas Israel. Hosuyan Ketigan Chachamein. We have Zichronam Levracha. Dr. Saab changed it to Zichram Levracha. Seichet Tarek Levracha. The Vav Nun doesn't really belong. Okay. The Loka Asmacha, the Loka Tufsi, the Shtarik. Not an asmachta, which means an insincere acceptance of an obligation, which is not binding. We'll get to that later. It's not a form. Then the kanina, most important word in the ksuba, mid blank, mishpachas blank, chasandana, lemora's blank, she should be is blank, ben blank, blank, bas blank, the mishpachas blank, psultada, al koma the kosh of the forest of the mother the kosh of the miknayabe, with that used to be a handkerchief, now it's usually a pen or a key or whatever. Cell phone that you use nowadays. V'hakol shara v'kayim. So we went through the ksuba with Rabbi Shechter's emendations and the original that we have over here. Any questions? You have to fill it out. If not, fill it out right. So I'll tell you a couple of stories just to keep you entertained a little bit. So at my wedding, my father, Zichron Levracha, unbeknownst to me, I don't know anything. I asked a cousin of mine to write a fancy ksuba. And he wrote a fancy ksuba with Ksav Ashuri on Klaf. Gee. Whole thing. Good. So the Rav walked in. The Rav is famous for passing ksuba, so those who know history, he's famous, world famous. He walks in, he sees right away on top in the middle, it said, Birvi, in big letters. All the ksubas used to have. Go to any museum, right? Look at any museum. They have these things that printed in there. Goddess, and all kinds of. The Rav said, possible. It's too big. It's not in a line. Possible. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was there, and he said to the Rav, that's how Ksumas were always written. The Rav waved them off and started reading Vayta. Okay, yeah, I was. It was his Brevi B'Shabbos. X days the Chodesh X. Shnas Chameshes Alofim, and it said afterwards the next word, V'Sheish Meos. Not that old. The Ksuma was 100 years of Muktam. How'd that happen? Very simple. My cousin coming from the Madrich. The Madrich was printed in the 1930s by Rabbi Golden, the Rabbi Golden's grandfather. Why he didn't chap this? Leave it blank. It's going to become wrong in 5 years, and everyone's going to get it wrong for the next 100 years, including my cousin. Sheish Meos, the Rav was smiling from ear to ear. I told you it was puzzle. He was so excited. Okay, so I'm sitting like an idiot, but I don't know. So that's it. Can't get married. No ksuba. Well, fortunately, my wife has two uncles who are up on him. They know already. Always bring an extra ksuba. So first, my uncle, my father-in-law's brother, walks in with the RCA ksuba. The Rav's RCA ksuba. The Rav was out of the RCA, right? Okay. Rav says, no good. Before he even looks at it, no good. Why no good? Because in the top, in the right, in big letters, it said, Beis Samach Dalet. It's ringing my ears like yesterday. What is this? A letter? It's a shtar! This is Mamash's words. Okay? Out. So the other side of my wife's family bought an old-fashioned ksuba, and they equipped kibbutz around. Baruch Hashem, but didn't say Baruch Hashem, and the Rav's ready to use this ksuba. Now he makes a real mistake. But a real mistake. Got my name wrong. This really has to go. Okay, now we're back Nebuch to the RCA ksuba. He has no prayer. We have to use it. Good. But the RCA ksuba, you know, has big, you know, spaces, and the Rav is makbid, the chatchila, to fill every space. Now Moshe, like a check. You ever write a check? You write a number and you put a line. No, the Rav wasn't like into lines. He wanted to fill the whole thing up. Good, no problem. So, Revi was Revi. It's easy. My name is Mordechai. I can make like this, Reish like this. You can make this Chof like this. You can make my name fill up a whole line with just three letters. No problem. Then he got to the family name. Should I tell you a family? I only make tzaros. So he writes Vov, Nachavov, a Yud. Lamed, you can't do much. Yud, and there's this much space left. It went like this. He had a gimel like this. So I have a cousin who was around 10 years old at the time. He says to his father, my uncle's a gimel. Daddy, that doesn't look like a gimel. Finished. Lucky the Rav, I gave him an elbow. Lucky the Rav didn't hear. So that's the ksuba that I have. Okay, so I'm saying, my wife was on cold feet. It was taking so long. He ripped up. Those are some more stories from my wedding, but for the moment, we'll stick with the ksuba stories. Okay, so we did fine. Everything's good and dandy? Fine. Any question about the ksuba? You have pushback on a number of things. The primary thing I push back is the spelling of the names. Primarily, the names of which have been Hebraicized. For example, all the Yiddish names of ladies who go to school in the modern schools, every aleph is changed to a hey. Which is wrong. And I'm not going to give in to it to their mistakes. It's wrong, it's wrong. You want to spell a Hebrew name, it's have a hey. It's a Yiddish name, it's with an aleph. That's the crook. Rab Ada Bar Ava. That's the rule. Ada Aleph Dalet Aleph. Bar Ava, Aleph Hey Vav Hey, that's the Hebrew word. All the Yiddish things have to have an Aleph. There are many, many Hebrew Yiddish names which end with the Aleph, but they were told to spell it with a Hey. I was speaking to Rabbi Rapp. He has a daughter, she should get married at the right time. Her name is Eti, Etta. He has high Et? Ayin Tes Aleph, obviously. So they told him in school to spell it wrong three times over. Aleph, Tov, Hey. Three letters, three mistakes. There's an expression in Yiddish, Noach mit sieben Greisen. You can make spell Noach with seven mistakes, only two letters. and the nun and a chaf and an aleph. I got the seven mistakes. The kids are, I don't give in. You got to get it right. It started at my wedding. My wife's name is Fega. And my father-in-law always spelled it Fe Yud Yud Gimel Aleph. He knew about Aleph, Danny knew. But in Yiddish, we traditionally spelled A with two Yuds. Because if it's one Yud, it's E. The Rav said, no, one Yud. One Yud. That's how we spell it, one Yud. Two Yuds is already I. The problem is E, A, and I. E, A, I. But they're only in Yiddish, all the vowels are spelled out. You got to make a choice. E is with one yud, I is with two yuds. What about A? So the halachis spell it with one, and the yiddishis spell it with two. So my father said, but we always spelled it with two yuds until now. Now my spells the name, but she changed my wife's name basically from two yuds to one yud. Wait, the rob go to Lador, Paskin, yes.
Ksuba be pre-filled except the
Adium,
meaning you
see the rabbi. Oh, I recommend, we'll get to that. Fill out the Ksuba in advance. Meet the Chos and the Kala, get the name straight, and fill it out in advance. You fill it out on the spot, many things can go wrong. Number one, you're nervous. The cameras are shooting. Two, the soda spilling. My son, Bukhoyam, the soda spills all over the Ksuba, and you have problems. Do it in advance. It takes you 5 minutes. Just do it. What do? I write a crib sheet. I write a crib sheet. Every blank, I write, I fill in, you know, what's going to be in that blank. I write it with my own hand, check it, and then I fill it in. That's all. Better safe than sorry. That's what I recommend.
But the Adium
have to sign on the spot. What about the Kanina? So there are some say you can't write the Kanina until you actually pick up the handkerchief or the pen or the cell phone or the keys, whatever you're doing. Okay. Merzik is Shikra, they're worried about. In my opinion, it's a chashash. It's a chumra de asa de kula. So when I was much younger, they told me that there's a chumra. So I said, okay, nah, chumra. Who am I to go against the chumra? What can go wrong? Many things. Number one, you have the kanina, it could smudge. Because they have a fancy ksuba with a fancy pen. It smudges. It happened to me once. Number two, most common, you can forget to put it in. Forget to put it in. Once at a wedding, and I wanted to, no, Rabbi, please don't put it in, because Rabbi David Lifshitz is Machman not to put it in. I said, you remind me to put it in before? Yeah. So I forgot, and he forgot. Whenever you finish the ksuba, always give it to the rabbi who's going to read it, to look for mistakes. This goes back 30-something years. I gave it to the rabbi, he comes back to me with a big smile on his face. That's the kanina. I had enough time to make a new ksuba. I've been at more than one wedding where they're reading the ksuba under the chuppah, and all of a sudden there's a pause. You ever been one of them? They forgot to put in the kanina. So some big rabbanim say, well, put it in now. Now, they signed already. But now? They signed already. Put in, I owe you $10 billion. Let's put that in too. Others are makel for other reasons, but it's not the chatchila. My greatest story of the kanina is this story. They started calligraphized ksubas. He's like, even my original one was calligraphized. But, you know, it became more of a fashion. Somebody was very strict about the kanina. Not only did they leave out the word kanina, they were so from, they left out the space to write in the kanina. So it went straight. It went in from the word tufsi d'shtari to min. I would have put that away as fast as you could say Jackie Robinson. Just put it away. I can't do this. But Rav Moshe was a Masada Kedush. Rav Moshe had Rechmanes. He spent so much money on his ksuba, and there's no, what do you do? Took out his pen. I kid you not. I put a little carrot. I put in the kanina, like you put a carrot, you know, and he wrote it at the end, if I recall correctly, Tevas kanina nichta bena ashitim bezekiyumo. Oh man, this to me was a wapa chiddush. I ran home to look up the din, not so pushing. After I call Shor of a kaim, can you do that? Rabbi Moshe said, go to Lador. That ksuba was worth money. That ksuba was really worth money, because that's. Moshe's caveat. You should get a hold of it to get some, take a picture for me. Just forget it. I'll try to bring it in. If you have to remember, remind me. I call up. I know the, my wife's roommate from Stern. That's the one who, her father was a Talmud of Moshe, and that was the story what happened. I remember exactly what wedding it was. Okay, please, if you remind me, I'll try to get a picture. All right, so I write for Kanina in advance after all these mistakes. Okay. That's a ksuba. Not so complicated, but you got to know how to do it right. Any other questions? Okay. Now that we've discussed the ksuba and the tnoim, there's one more document that I want to talk about, which is a prenup. You should all have the prenup in front of you. Okay? Let's discuss what a prenup really is. Have a copy? It's fun. Yeah?
What if one of the Edim writes their name?
Oh, yeah.
Without a yud, without
a... Oh, you, I had a story like this. You know, you know, I was at a wedding recently. They made the rabbi, to his credit, made the Edim sign in front of him on a separate piece of paper, make sure they got it right. So, you know, if it's a complicated name, I ask, how do you spell your name? Because, you know, I want to spell my way. I once did a wedding. You're not going to believe this. The Edim's name was Moshe. So, you know, man. So I didn't ask him. Moshe, what's Moshe, Moshe? He spells his name Mem Vov Shin He. Oh. Too late to change it. I mean, the ksuba is kosher anyway, but come on. Look, in Israel, everyone's spelling Aaron with a Vov. Aleph, Hey, Resh, Vov, Nun. That's the most common. It's not that way in Chumash. Nowhere. According to some nuskas, it's one place. It's probably wrong anyway. So I fight with these people. So spell it right. What will you spell with a Vov? Who are you? You going against God? Gospel are without a vote.
What if they spelled it right, wrong, even according to their own sheet? Just under the pressure, they messed up.
It's a problem. I mean, in theory, you could just redo it. In other words, you're going to have them cross the name out and start again. But that's going to be a little complicated. Where they're going to do it, etc. You also write eight at the end of the name. But you're right that this other rabbi made him sign it on a piece of paper. You're right. It won't help. If they're under pressure, they'll make the mistake anyway. Do the best you can. Okay? Okay? Fine.
Maybe before we get to the Islamic prenup,
yeah.
A financial prenup that a couple, let's say, wants to sign.
Yeah, sure.
Affects any of this, or
is... Oh. A financial prenup is often signed when there's money in the family. People like me got married, there was nothing a financial prenup. I had no money, she had no money, my family had no money, her family had no money. Oh, for four. So. Nothing to make a prenup about. Because one family has a lot of money, one has doesn't, they're afraid that they write financial prenups. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But this is what's called, I call this a halachic prenup, if you will. And the purpose, although it's not stated explicitly in the documents for a good reason, is that there are too many situations where a man and a woman are separated from each other, and the marriage is dead, not a chance of it ever being rehabilitated. And the woman is sitting there, and she can't even get the husband to respond at all. He won't come to Bezni. He just ignores her completely. That's called a modern day aguna. So let's take a look at this agreement. You should have 3 or 4 pages. Am I correct? You have 4. How many pages do you have here?
4.
Okay. Well, let's see the instructions first. Okay, that's page 4. The instructions. Mazel tov. Oh, that's great. Let's put a spin on it. Mazel tov. This agreement is intended to facilitate the timely and proper resolution of certain marital disputes. Talk about euphemisms. Man alive. Because it was Amalek Chemia said, don't write the word get anywhere in the whole document. Not even in the instructions. So he took it out. When a couple about to marry on this agreement, they thereby express their concern for each other's happiness as well as their concern for all couples marrying according to the Jewish law. So you have 5 steps. Read it. Sign it in front of the witness and the notary. Here in New York, I'm a notary. Yeah. Any muspach is a notary. You're a notary too, Rabbi, in New York.
Registered clergy.
I think it could be any muspach or certainly registered clergy. You don't have to be in the Sinai Kedusha. See here, it's incorrect. I got to fix this. Here it says over here, in New York State, the officiating rabbi can serve as a notary. But I checked that with the Bezdin. If you look at the statute, it doesn't say it. We have to correct it. Any rabbi can serve as notary. People don't do it, not officiating. It doesn't matter where the wedding is done. If the wedding can be done in New Jersey, but if it's filling out in New York, it's also good to be notary. Okay? Witness is signed. Okay? Copy. The most important is the Bezdin should have a copy. These tenoyim achronim, paragraph 6, premarital agreement, should be discussed. Now, Tanoim Achronim is a concept going back all the way to the safe called Nachlas Shiva. Have you heard of it? Never heard of it. We should put this on the maybe on the list of Makaris, Rabbi Stein, for next. Simon Tess. Right? Put Ches and Tess. Why not? They're two different. It's Tanoim Rishon and Tanoim Achronim. Why not? You get in a Bar Ilan, right? I assume. Put it on. But if you don't put it out, it's just on screen. It doesn't cost a penny. Okay? Should be discussed and then signed as far ahead of the wedding day itself as is practically feasible. As opposed to the Tanoim Achronim of yesteryear, which they signed at the wedding, this place is better to do it earlier. It's prevalent in Messiah Kedushin, do it. Anyone else can do it. Legal counsel is encouraged. Encouraged to me is too strong of a term. But if you want to do it, I'm not going to stop it. Lawyers get in the way. I once was involved many years ago, Baruch Hashem, more than 20 years ago. Out of the four parents, three of them were lawyers. Let me tell you, I had a lot of fun with them. They started tinkering with this document and I make sure that the tinkering shouldn't make it puzzle. Okay. It works in civil court, USA. Okay? USA. If you don't live out of the USA, there's a problem. Okay? Dayanim all across the country. We now have a Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael too. Because my Tanim in Eretz Yisrael are starting to get married off the kids and they want this. So we got three Dayanim in conjunction now with Eretz Chemd a little bit. And we have a form can be used in Eretz Yisrael to accept the half the money. We'll get to that later. Because there's only so much money to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. Then there are options. Column 2 over here. Options about how much is given to the Beis Din for their determination. Some say just the basic stuff. Some say all the money stuff. Some say even child custody stuff. I'm a maximalist. You're better off in Beis Din than everything. And if you're in secular court, you're much worse off, it seems to me. Okay? That's all about these kind of things. It's important to note that this is paragraph section 2b again. They must, however, understand that in many states, I think in all states, secular courts retain final jurisdiction over all matters related to child custody visitation. But you can't sign that away into arbitration. So in our Beis Din, to my knowledge, in all the cases that we've dealt with custody visitation, we've never been overruled by a court. I don't think they even considered looking at it. Because we put a psychologist on the Beis Din. If you use Dr. Pelka with somebody, he's better than their psychologist. One thing I try to overrule. So it's ridiculous. He outranks them. So that's why we have had no problem, but you have to be careful. Gentlemen, this is a Choshen Mishpat issue. Any Beis Din that engages in what they call ex parte communication, they don't speak to the parties outside of the both of them. Not only is halachically a problem, but it's in one second to be overturned by any secular court. So Rosh Hashulchan writes that nowadays people are makel in the shaila, which I don't understand even how, but it'll become unenforceable. It's unenforceable, it's useless. If Henkin write, if a person will not sign a shtar beruah to make it enforceable in secular court, he's a mesarav l'din. Every dayan is undemanding his own sack. It's for another day. Okay, those are the instructions. You got it? I skipped a lot of small stuff. Let's go to the document proper. This agreement made on the blank day of the month of blank and the year of blank and the city of blank and the state of blank. I really tell them I should make some of these things smaller. How long in the month? How many days? What are they so much space here for? Okay. Husband to be, drawing a blank. Wife drawing a blank. The parties intended to marry in their future agree as follows. 1. Arbitration. Should a dispute arise between the parties after they are married, they do not live together as husband and wife, they agree to submit the bond arbitration before the Beis Din of America, which will have exclusive jurisdiction to decide all issues pertaining to a get, Jewish divorce, the ketubah and the tanoim, Jewish crown agreements, entered by husband to be and wife to be, and issues and obligations arising from a connection with this agreement, including under paragraphs, boom, and disputes relating to the enforceability, formation, conscionability, gentlemen. Have I? What does that mean? It was put in by the lawyers who went over it most recently. We should give honorable mention to the president of our Beis Din. It was Binyamin Kamenetsky's marrying off his daughter to one of our Tamidim on Sunday. So he gets credit for conscionability. You can ask him what it means. And validity of this agreement, Kulian claims, and the arbitrability of any disputes arising hereunder. This is legalese, which the legal firm put in for good reason. All right, good. For your information, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, permitting the signing of a document before marriage to agree that you'll be arbitrated by a particular bezdin. This is to avoid one party wanting to go to secular court, or to avoid fight of which bezdin to go to. You'll have to write that much bezdin. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Per Shlita, who was the recipient of the tshuva of Rav Moshe originally, from Yeshiva Farakaway, if I'm not mistaken, to this day, when it's Mesela Kedushin, writes a doctrine of arbitration, there's a problem that should go to a particular bezdin. I believe so. That can save an awful lot. Because when they go to different, you know, when a marriage starts to unravel, it's very tricky. And part of it is jockeying for position. You know, I'm afraid I have to go, I want to go to court, this bezdin, that bezdin. That's the last nail in the coffin of the marriage. If they know that if they're going to have to break up, they know exactly where they're going, they have a better chance of making peace. People say the prenup causes more divorces, causes less divorces. If they're secure, both of them, they know if there's going to be a problem, they're going to go to a certain place, they can allow themselves to be more vulnerable. Otherwise, they're all jockeying. You know, you've seen this thing. They're jockeying. And that kills the marriage if it wasn't killed before. It took a half-dead marriage and made it fully dead with this jockeying. Okay. Fine. With me so far? Now, section 2.
Yeah, that wording, by the way, a lot of that wording is just to exclude from, it has to do with, just is to make sure that only the basin has the right to decide issues as to whether this contract will be formed. It keeps the court out.
Correct, keeps court out, other business out, everybody else out.
I mean, out of
we try to.
Determine whether the contract's not bound.
Correct. Thank you. Esquire, appreciate that help. Appreciate it. Okay, section 2. Financial and custody issues. Okay? They can select 2A1, 2A2, 2A3. But if you don't select it, you will have no jurisdiction to address this. In all cases, the parties agree with the Bezdin of America to also decide all monetary disputes, division of property and maintenance, as between them. What's the difference between 1, 2, and 3? 1 is according to halacha. 2 is what's called equitable distribution. Although we do not make reference to New York State, where it happens to be the law of the land. And 3 is community property, which is Shava B'Shava, which is California law. Rabbi Zalman Nechem is matter to put in New York State. But since some of us disagree, we chose to use the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act, which is not a law in any of the 50 states, just to keep it out of the shadow of what's called the Dinehem, our cause, things of this nature. 2B, custody, support, visitation, etc. Again, I recommend they sign 2A1 and 2B. That's my recommendation. 2C, the Bezdin of America may consider the respective responsibilities of either or both of the parties to the end of the marriage, for the end of the marriage, as an additional but not exclusive factor in determining the distribution of marital property and maintenance, such a determination be authored in the paragraph 2A or 2B. Okay? In other words, we're allowed to take into account these things, even though in many states today, have what they call no-fault divorce. Drainage.com. Like no-fault car insurance. No fault. Don't sit for who's fault. We have reserved the right to take that into consideration. Good? Next page. Support. This is the kishkas of the agreement. Husband to be acknowledges that he recites and accepts the following. I hereby now me'akshav. Me'akshav is a halachic term. Me'akshav helps to overcome a number of problems of kosa kinyono, primarily what's called asmachta, which we'll get to a little bit later. We remember the ksuba deloka asmachta. Myself to support my wife from the day that our domestic residence together shall cease for whatever reasons, even if it's her fault, at the rate of $150 per day, calculated with adjusted, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. That was considered to be present time what it costs to live. Now in Rabbi Stein's community in Rydnik, you can't live $150 a day. Just the rent itself is way, rent. It's out of sight. In Riverdale, I think you can still get to live on $150. I think you can still do on it. But in other places, it costs less. So, We had to pick a number. Truth to be told, if the number is too high, so we would not assess that number. The Bezdin obviously has a right to lower the number. What is the standard? This is a Mefurash Gemara. Olo imo veni oredismo. Based on the pasuk we read a week and a half ago. Vehi bu'ulas baal. Wrong subas. She goes up, not down. The higher the two standards of living, of the husband or the wife's family. That's what it means. Okay? So we assume that's $150 a day. If it's less, we can give less. In lieu of my Jewish law obligation of support, so long as the two of us remain married according to Jewish law, even if she has another source of income or earnings, can't say, see, Maisi Adakim Zon Asayach, you support yourself. No. Furthermore, I waive my halachic rights to my wife's earnings for the period that she is entitled to the above stipulated sum. Big problem with this. Everyone in Ksubas knows that this is a major problem. How can you do it? Too early. Too early. The Gemara in Ksubas have Pekim Laman Aleph. The Kos of Laba Oda Arusa. If you want to write, there's an expression like this in Shas. Din Udvarim Eindim in a Chasayach of a Perosan of a Peros Perosan at Ola. Gemara in Ksubas Pekim. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. When do you say this? The Pasha Pekim say it between the Eris and the Nisun. Gentlemen, is there any time at all weddings between the Erisim and the Nisun? Huh? Is there any time? It's a big fight amongst the Poskim. In my opinion, there is time. And I have confirmation of Nissen Karelitz Shalita. When my father lost his wife and remarried, the second wife came, her daughters lived in Bnei Brak, and they wanted to make sure that their estate, the Yerusha, should go to them. Not if their mother predeceases, should go to my father. So if Nissen Karelitz gave the crib sheet, you know, did it wrong, wrote a whole on a piece of paper, and he said, you know when you say this? After you put the ring on her finger, before you read the ksuba. He's assuming at that point in time, there's Kedushin, but there's no Nisuin. I think he's 100% right. Others disagree. Say, no. The minute he puts a ring on a finger and they're under a chuppah, that chuppah right away makes them married. Could we have this no riot from about a mona to a psula? He can make distinctions. I don't know for sure. I think it works even for a psula. And there's a whole piece of my sefer that you have here in front of you about that. I had to argue with Rabbi Usher Weiss about this. He said to me, if you want to do that, you have to give her the ring not under the chuppah. Not under the chuppah. Then say din dvarim, and then walk under the chuppah. If you want to do that, that's fine. The kids and Emirates, no one to my knowledge, except for one case, did a prenup under the chuppah. You were there at that one case?
I think Rabbi Brander was that.
No, I don't think so. I think the chosn, the very chosn of a Talmud Chacham named Noah Gardenschwartz. You know who he is? It was told to me that Rabban Lichtenstein, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, said, oh, very nice prenup, but you can't waive the rights until the Gemara Ksubas Pegimel. So he made them sign this thing under the chuppah. Walkie Bud. Eight-day prenup, notarized prenup, this is a prenup, make a read the prenup, I don't know, can make a member, can put them all on galore. Rabban, of course, is correct, but our minig is to be made. On this shadow based on a number of things. I recite, catch this fancy English here, that I shall be deemed to have repeated this waiver at the time of our wedding. This is a whole Dawes Baldin that he repeated under the chuppah, even though it hasn't happened yet. How can I have a Dawes Baldin if it didn't happen yet? Well, if you look in Svarim, you'll see it's possible. It's possible.
So what's the whole point of this paragraph? That he commits to paying a certain amount and waives his rights.
Very simple. Very simple. A man is required to support his wife.
Yes.
If they split up, you look in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ayin at the end, you'll see. If it's her fault, he need not pay her. If it's his fault, he must pay her.
Right.
Till they figure out whose fault it is, they'll both turn white. Where are we going to go? Bezdin, court, whose fault, my fault, your fault. All this does is, it's no fault from that perspective.
But why is he waiting his rights in the
world? Ah, very simple. I think you are one of the many men in our world who has a wife that earns a lot of money.
Many women.
Exactly. One of many, many, many. So what's the point of his signing this piece of paper? He'll say, $150 a day? Here, take it. Give me back $500 a day. Yeah. But if he waives his rights, he can't make the claim anymore.
But why would you require him to waive his rights?
I repeat, if he doesn't waive his rights, if his wife makes $50,000 a year, there's a wash. His paper is worthless. So he'll just ignore them. He'll ignore everybody again. As soon as she comes knocking on his door, give me $50,000 a year, I'll say, give me $80,000 a year for your earnings.
No, I understand. What are you trying to compel the man to do?
Nothing compel. We want him to take responsibility to support her, so they shouldn't just leave her hanging. Okay? So if he waives the rights, then he has it's an incentive for him to come to Bezdin, and if Bezdin says they should give a get, because otherwise it costs $150 a day till it. Sorry? Go
weiter. Well, baby,
that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If they're not together, if the fact that she's not together is his fault, yes, he still doesn't support her. It's her fault now. Okay. I acknowledge they have now, may Akshav, effected the above obligation by means of a Kenyan form of Jewish transaction in the esteemed Choshev Bezdin as prescribed by Jewish law. People ask me, when and how do I do this? The answer, no need to do it at all. Hodos Baldin, Kemeidim Dami. You don't have to do it. You admit that you did it, as if it's done. Oh. That's his obligation. Now, however, this support obligation shall terminate. Are we going to dive in here or downstairs? Rabbi Sai? Prefer dive in here or downstairs? Do we have 10 people to dive in here? Sure? Okay. However, this support obligation shall terminate. If wife-to-be refuses to appear upon due notice before the Bezdin of America, or the event that wife-to-be fails to abide by the decision or the recommendation of the Bezdin of America, otherwise she'll just have, for the rest of her life, she'll get $150 a day. She refuses to appear, refuses to abide by the decision, that says she won't take a get, forget it. Furthermore, wife-to-be waives her right to collect any portion of this support obligation attributable to the period preceding the date of her reasonable attempt to provide written notification to husband-to-be that she intends to collect the above sum. Said written notification must include wife-to-be's notarized signature. Period. Why is this? The following story took place. I told a few stories. This is this story. Years back, someone signed a prenup like this. It was $100 a day before it moved up. And the husband said from the get-go, I'll give you a get. He wasn't recalcitrant in the slightest. Good. Took 3 months till they got a court date. Best. Took 3 years till the get was given because she still doubted. I don't want the get till fit it done in the civil court. Took 3 years. Not unknown. Good. Gives the get right away. Gets in the mail later on a bill for $100,000. Back support for 3 years. It was 30-something a year. Well, she wants $100,000. They came to our Bezdin. Only one that can order is Bezdin of America. No one else can. It was 3 day on him. And it was a divided court on one matter. They all agree that there's no way she's entitled to the money the time he walked into Bezdin and said, I'll give you the get today. She didn't want to take it. That's out of the question. But the first 3 months, never came to Bezdin. Two judges said, well, she's entitled to. One judge said, nah, come on. He was willing to give the get the first day. They just didn't get around to having the court. It's not his fault. It's the judges, the three diodem, and the secretaries, and the husband and the wife. They couldn't get together. It's not one. Okay. But two against one. Psak came out. He has to give $10,000. She wanted 100, he wanted 0, 10. The decision was appealed. And Av Bezdin is an appeal system. Rabbi Schwartz Shalit is Av Bezdin, and he often hands it off to others. This one he handed off to me. They both appealed. He appealed, he wanted 0. She appealed, she wanted 100. So it came to me to write the decision. This decision is written in one of the Bezdin books that came out. The Bezdin has put out two annual journals. It's written there. I spent some time on it, consulted. My psak, as an appellate judge was, she's entitled to 0. 0.
And,
huh?
And if that's the case, let's say she was making $500,000 a year and he's making $150,000 a year, and the right of waiver is time limited based on your decision, he under halakha, his waiver would have gone back to day one, and he could then claim your base fee. Are you saying how in your base fee could claim his halakha great term?
I'll be honest with you. My personal view is, and typically today, a man is no longer entitled to his wife's earnings. Tell you what, because it says in the Mishnah, he's entitled to his wife's earnings that she's making wool. She makes wool in the house. That's all he's entitled to. If she works extra hard on the wool, it's called hadafa. Idea tchak. It's machloekas. Is she entitled or not? The mechaba says yes. The bach says no. We paskin no. Not even entitled to that. Outside the housework, forget it. In my opinion, she's not required to go out of the house. She's not making half a million from knitting wool. She's a lawyer in a fancy law firm. She's not required to do that. But it's a long story. But in the material that Rabbi Stein gave you, I think some of this is there.
I mean, the only reason I ask these questions is because you want the prenup that people will sign.
You better believe it.
If you get concerns where things are out of balance, that's my question. What extent do these get? What percentage of whatever? I'm not sure. I've never seen this before. So I'm wrong, but what percentage of shuls where rabbis use this do they actually get signed? These prenups?
Can't answer the question. I've used it many times myself, and they get signed.
Because the easier the agreement is on the parties, it's more. It encourages them to sign.
I agree.
Once you have waivers and stuff like that, you got problems.
Well, if you don't have a waiver, it's not going to work. So that's why I asked for a waiver. Mm-hmm. This support obligation of the Jewish law is independent of any civil or state law obligation for spousal support or any civil or state law imposed order for spousal support and shall be determined only by the Bezdin of America. That's what you said before. No one else can tell us what to do. No court, no Bezdin, only us.
And they can't go to court to get order.
No, I don't think so. I think this is what... There were those who claimed it's unconstitutional under separation of church and state. In Connecticut, they threw that out in a second. This is a purely secular document. It has to do with money. Out. There was a judge who said that it's invalid. Why? It was signed under coercion. What was the coercion? Well, she said she wouldn't marry him without it. I think that judge is nuts. I want to sell you a house. I'm agreeing to give me $1 million. Good. No good. Coercion. I wouldn't sell you the house. You wouldn't give me $1 million. It was absurd. What's this judge thinking? I can't figure it out. But the judge is a judge. Whatever. One case, the guy said it was forged. There was a video of the guy signing it. He went in for a year claiming it's forged. You can consult governing law, Pshara Krov Ledin. I'm skimming now. Other kinds of other things, it's boilerplate stuff. What's interesting in halacha is the last part of number 7. As a matter of Jewish law, the parties agree that to effectuate this agreement they accept now through the Jewish law mechanism of Kimley, whatever minority views determined by the Bezdin of America are needed to effectuate the obligations, procedures, and jurisdictional mandates contained in this agreement. That's a little complicated what that means. Maybe next week, before I even stop, we have to have an extra shiur. Is there a time, is there another day of the week that you're all free? Besides Thursday? No.
We talked about Tuesday when I thought it didn't work.
I can make it work. The other alternative, you know, on the next day is I could just add 20 minutes to the next start 10 after 1. Is that better for the Talmidim? No good? Yeah. So we'll start 1:10 the next 3 weeks. That's 20 minutes, 20. My math is 20, 20, and 20 equals 60. Okay, so next 3 weeks we start 10 after 1, and then we nothing for next Mashiach. It's not in here. It's in the. It's, you'll find it in the rules and procedures of the Bezdin of America, which is referenced in the instructions. And then it's notarization. We'll stop here. Let's remember Yalla V'Yavu at Mincha. Yeah, the Purim Tzuvos. I saw that. Rabbi Yitzchak, the safest maker, no?
Yeah, yeah. The Rabbi of Haifa is telling people to be covered.